Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is Season 7 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. Now, the Word of God is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's Word right now. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. This is from the book of the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14 and verses 1 through 14. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me and also will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now today we're going to be spending our time in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, which we read earlier. And we are still continuing in our series, which is called, What Are You Doing? What are you doing? What are you doing as members of this church? As members of the church, we make a vow. When we stand up here and we become members of the church, of the local church, we take a vow and we say, as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? This is a promise that we make when we join the local church. Every local church has a need to have its ministry sustained by these five things. And today, through the writings of Peter, we're going to look at how we can faithfully participate in the ministries of this church by our prayers. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us then. This is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 2 through 10. We already read this. Let's read it again just to refresh our memories. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, The stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we desire to be holy as you are holy. Therefore, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Instruct us by your holy word and draw us ever closer to you. This we ask in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes it helps us if we can remind ourselves of certain truths. There are things that we take for granted in the church. One of the things that I think that we take for granted in the church is that we ought to be praying people. Praying people. After all, what is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is communication between us and God. At its most basic element, that's what prayer is. It's us talking to God and God talking to us. Understand that when we look at the very opening passages of the Bible, in Genesis it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God is a creator. God is our creator. God made all things. Look around you. Look around you at everything that surrounds you. In nature, in your home, every single atom has been created by God. And this is the God that we speak to directly in prayer. This is the holy God who made us in his own image that we communicate with. It's quite a privilege when you think about it. I think about the old TV show Batman from the 60s, Adam West and Burt Ward. It's a fun show. I used to watch it on Channel 17 all the time. And the one thing that always struck me about that show was that Commissioner Gordon, even though Commissioner Gordon had no idea who Batman was, and how nobody knew who he was, I don't know, but Commissioner Gordon had no idea who Batman was, but Commissioner Gordon had something. He had that phone, right? The bat phone. And all he had to do was pick it up, and it would start buzzing in the bat cave. And then Batman would answer the phone, and he would say, "Yes, Commissioner Gordon, what can I do for you?" You know, our prayer is like that. Not that God is our servant. Not that God is like a genie in a bottle, but that we have a direct line to God. And all we have to do is pick it up and begin to talk. God hears us. God hears our prayers. We might not have talked to him in a month, a year, years even. We might not have ever spoken to God. And yet, all we have to do is to get on our knees and say, "Our Father in heaven," and he's listening. He's listening. It's like that bat phone. You pick it up and you're talking to God immediately. It's a bad analogy, I know. All analogies sort of break down after a while. But what else is prayer? We pray in Jesus' name. Why is it that we always end our prayers with those words? In Jesus' name we pray, Amen. Well, because Jesus told us to pray in his name. In the reading that we read today in the book of John, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Well, for one thing, we need to pray in the character of Jesus. We need to know who Jesus is and what he is about, so that when we pray in his name, we are a representative of Christ. You see, back in the day when kings would send out a proclamation to the world, they would send out a herald, and the herald would go and they would open up the scroll and they would say, in the name of King so-and-so, and they would read this proclamation. Now, it wasn't the actual king who was reading the proclamation, but it was in his name that the herald was proclaiming it. That means that what the herald was proclaiming was in keeping with the character and the will of that king. In the same way, when we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying in the character and will of Jesus Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, what is the will of God? What is the will of God in Jesus Christ? Well, the will of God in Jesus Christ is that all would be saved in his name, because he is the one who bore our sins for us on the cross. He is the one who paid the debt that we owed. He is the one who bore our punishment that we deserve. He is the one who died the death that we were destined to die. And now, in his name, he offers us eternal life. That is the will and the character of God. God loves his people, and he doesn't want for any to perish. And so he made a way for us to be rescued through his Son. That's the will of God. And that's what it means to pray in his character. Archbishop Richard Trench once said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his highest willingness. Let me say that again. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of his highest willingness. See, when we pray in the character and the will of Jesus Christ, when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we are aligning our wills to his will. And then we are saying, yes, Lord, I submit to you. I am yours. Do with me as you will. So let's look at this text before us today. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Like newborn infants, he's talking about the new birth. He's talking about us being born again. In fact, in verse 23, he says, of chapter 1, 23, he says, you have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. You've been born again, and now we are brand new. We're like infants, and we crave pure spiritual milk. Like newborn infants, he says, long for the pure spiritual milk. And what's he talking about? He's talking about the Word of God. So the first thing that we see here is that in prayer, we are fed by God's Spirit. In prayer, we are fed by God's Spirit. Long for the pure spiritual milk that feeds us, that helps us to grow, that helps us to become stronger in our faith, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. There he's quoting Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. We taste and see. We take refuge in God. And if we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, then we can long for that spiritual milk. So in prayer, we are fed by God's Spirit. Next, in prayer, we submit to Christ. In prayer, we submit to Christ. Come to him, verse 4 says. Come to him. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and the living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Come to him. And so through prayer, we submit to Christ. Again, praying in his name. How do we submit to Christ? Well, again, in John chapter 14, we read, if you love me, this is Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So I'll ask you, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you keep his commandments? This is what we are called to do as Christians. As Christians, we bear the name of Christ upon us, don't we? We're called Christians, little Christs. That means we're Christ's representatives in the world. That means we're part of the body of Christ. That means each one of us is a little part of Christ's body, and Christ is the head. So we submit ourselves to him. Just as the members of our bodies submit ourselves to this thing inside us called our brain. The brain drives everything that we do. And so, in the same way, God, through Jesus Christ, is the head of the body. The head of the body. And so Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How else do we submit to Christ? In Romans chapter 15 and verse 16, it says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We submit ourselves to God. He is the living stone. We are living stones. And God is building us a temple. See, it says in Scripture, in verse 6, it says, for it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. So the third thing that we learn is this, that in prayer, we build our foundation on Christ. Think about what a cornerstone is. In years past, a cornerstone was the first stone that was laid. And then the entire orientation of the building depended on that cornerstone. It was the foundation. It was what gave the building strength. But it also laid the orientation of the entire building. And if that cornerstone was off by so much as just 1 degree, the whole building would be off. And so it was very important that that cornerstone had to be in perfect alignment. In the same way, Jesus Christ is in perfect alignment with God's will, and he directs the church. And because he is in perfect alignment, the church can be in perfect alignment as well. He is our foundation. He is the one upon which we build our foundation. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 21, it says, you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You see, we are building our foundation on the apostles and the prophets. Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone. And so, the whole structure being joined together grows into the temple in the Lord. So, in prayer we are fed by God's Spirit. In prayer we submit to Christ. In prayer we build our foundation on Christ. And now this, we are a royal priesthood. That's the title of the message today. We are a royal priesthood. And what does it mean to be a royal priesthood? Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what does it mean to be a royal priesthood? What does it mean that we are a priesthood? You know, in the Protestant Reformation, they put forth an idea that there is a priesthood of all believers. In the Catholic Church, there are certain priests who are intercessors for the people. People would go and they would confess their sins to them. And then the priest would lay out a penance that they would have to do for their sins. But Christ took all our sins on the cross. Christ is our one intercessor and our one mediator. And so we are all, as Christians, we are all called to be priests. And what does that mean? Well, priests offer intercessory prayers for the people. In Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7, we read that these will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. My house shall be called a house of prayer. We make intercessory prayers for the people. As priests, that's who we are. Remember, Jesus said that whoever you forgive will be forgiven, and whatever sins you do not remit will be retained. And what does that mean? It means we are Christ's representatives on earth. That means we are to intercede for the people. There are people in the world who don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know the glorious things that God has done through him for us. And so we pray. We pray for those people. We pray for anyone who doesn't know God. We pray for anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ and the wonderful things that he has done for us. We intercede for the people. We pray for people. Also, priests act as a bridge between the people and God. In Exodus chapter 19 and verses 5 and 6, we read, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So where there are two offices, you have the priest and the prophet. The prophet speaks to the people on behalf of God. And the priest speaks to God on behalf of the people. You see, as a royal priesthood, that's what our obligation and duty is, to pray on behalf of the people to God. So priests act as a bridge between people and God. And finally, priests submit to a high priest. Who is our high priest? Our high priest is Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16 says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we as priests also submit to a high priest, which is Christ. You see, we submit everything that we do to Christ. Christ is our Lord. Christ is our Savior. He is our King. Everything that we do is for Him and in His name. Now, the last thing I want to tell you, we've looked at in prayer, we are fed by God's Spirit. In prayer, we submit to Christ. In prayer, we build our foundation on Christ. We are a holy and royal priesthood. And finally this, in prayer, we are drawn together. In prayer, we are drawn together. Verse 10 says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." There, Peter is quoting from Hosea, "And I will have mercy on those who have no mercy. And I will say to my people who are not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God." So many times throughout the Old Testament, we are told that God will gather his people. And why? For his own glory, for his own sake. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 26, we read, "The very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God." In prayer, we are drawn together. When you are at home on your knees praying for your brothers and sisters, and they are at home on their knees praying for you, we are all drawn together. This body can be strengthened through prayer. Prayer is the mortar that draws us all together as living stones to build this temple, you see. And so we need to faithfully participate in the ministries of the local church by our prayers. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 37 through 39, it says, "Behold, I will gather them from all the countries to which I drove them in my anger and my wrath and in great indignation. I will bring them back to this place, and I will make them dwell in safety. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for their own good and the good of their children after them." So in prayer, we are drawn together. In prayer, we are fed by God's Spirit. In prayer, we submit to Christ. In prayer, we build our foundation on Christ. We are a priesthood of all believers, and in prayer, we are drawn together. So how can we faithfully participate in the ministries of the local church by our prayers? We pray to strengthen our pastor. I covet your prayers for me. I cannot do this alone, and indeed no one could. I can only shepherd God's people undergirded by prayer. Solomon, when God instructed him to ask for anything, Solomon said, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this great people of yours?" Your pastor needs your prayers. In fact, all the ministries of this church need your prayers. What if every member of this church took to their knees once a week and prayed specifically for each of the ministries of this church? How much more could we do in the name of Christ in this community to reach the least and the last and the lost, to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? There's a reason that prayers are at the top of the list of duties for each church member. Prayer needs to be the first thing that we do before anything that we do. If we are not praying for our ministries, then we are doomed to fail. We build our foundation on Christ in prayer, and by prayer, God strengthens the ministries of this church by His Spirit. When we go to God in prayer on behalf of the ministries of this church, we are submitting to God and saying to Him, "Thy will be done." Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray for Your Spirit to be upon us in this time. We know, Lord, that it's a difficult thing sometimes to carve out a few minutes in our day to just speak to You in the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we feel like we don't know what we're supposed to pray for. But Your Holy Spirit instructs us, Lord. Let Your Holy Spirit fall upon us in times of prayer. Let Your Holy Spirit fall upon us and drive us to our knees so that we can be a praying church, so that the members of this church can faithfully participate in the ministries of this church by our prayers. Lord, You answer every prayer. And so we come to You today, lifting You up, glorifying Your holy name. Everything that we do, Lord, we want to draw people to You so that You may be glorified. And so that in the name of Jesus Christ, the lost may be saved and found, rescued. We pray, Lord, that You would rescue them as You have rescued us. And use this church as a praying church to be the body of Christ that submits itself to our priestly head, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My prayer for you is that you have been blessed in its teaching as I have been blessed putting this message together. God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn, and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. And if you live in the area and you don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m., and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Right now, during the coronavirus outbreak, we are meeting exclusively online through Facebook Live, and we would be glad to have you join us wherever you are. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family, hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, remember this: Christ died for you. Now go live for Christ.